to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Nidutyambi tatyambi savaha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Or new to practice, there are back jacks back there in the corner, if that would be more comfortable to sit on during the group discussion. And also a reminder to folks that we record the Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. So what shall we look at this morning?
This week about that I watch going from identification to awareness. But I don't watch going from awareness to identification.
Oh, okay, so that was the insight. Got it. So you watch going from identification to awareness, so you see how that happens, but you realized that you don't watch what happens going from awareness to identification.
Yeah, and when I'm in identification, I want to get out of it so bad.
Right. There's a lot of motivation there, isn't there?
Then I'm practicing and practicing and practicing to get to awareness,
yeah,
and to get to center, and then I sort of relax.
Yeah.
I noticed that,
yeah,
that there's a relaxation or a going to sleep or a, not a good relaxation.
Right, right. Yeah. So identification, synonymous, we could say, with suffering or something's going on that's difficult or painful or that kind of thing. And so there's motivation to, you know, don't particularly want to be there. It's not a great place to be. And so there's a lot of motivation to start paying attention. And then as you do that, you move into awareness. Mm-hmm. And with that movement to awareness, there can be, and I'm guessing, as you said, not necessarily good relaxing, maybe at first, there's an expansion, there's a presence, there's, because when we're here, those are the thing, you know, those are the byproducts, right, of being in awareness.
Yeah.
But that, without seeing it, that can move to, it sounds like, kind of an unconscious, quote, relaxing. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the slide is back open to move back into that suffering place.
Yeah, it's sort of like that belief that it's, okay, I'm here now, I'm done.
Right. Yeah. Oh, good, I'm set now. Now I'm here.
Yeah, I can just go back to sleep. And so in watching the awareness, just the idea of that, and to, as I was meditating this morning, I noticed that idea come in again. Mm-hmm. And just in the idea of it, it feels like the attention is then on awareness.
Right.
And you don't go to identification.
Right.
As often, because you're watching what's going on that would lead you to that place, and and there's like a and then the container, like you could see the whole thing, like where it all can be held in that place of awareness, and it's like there's other options available, like there's, when you're in identification, it's so narrow and there's no options.
Right.
You know, you're in it and you're believing it, and when you start practicing, you're first fighting to get back to the center, because you know it's there, but mm-hmm. you don't know how to get there. And mm-hmm. then when you're watching to see how it goes to identification, it's like there's this big thing, right. this big expansive thing that there's so many more options than right. just being like narrowly focused on what the belief system is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I'm tracking what you're saying, that so when the attention is on awareness, then there might be, say conditioned mind is attempting to introduce ways to bring you back, right, to identification. Mm-hmm. But that if the attention stays with awareness, you see those. Mm-hmm. You see all the places where if you had gone to that, oh good, I'm set now, I'm just here, and sort of without realizing it, going to that relaxed sleep place, mm-hmm. then as those re-entries into identification are introduced, you don't see it. And so you just go straight to it.
Yeah. Your attention just starts.
Your attention just goes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if your attention stays on awareness, and those things still happen, mm-hmm. but they're held in that very large place of the field of awareness, and then it sounds like that's that choice that you're talking about, where you have a lot of options, like, I don't really actually particularly want to go there.
Exactly.
I don't want to believe that story.
And then other options drop in mm-hmm. from life. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's perfect the way you described it. So it's like you see the conditioned option.
Right.
And you go, no.
Right.
That's not it, you know. And then, yeah. and then you see these other options
yeah.
that would have never occurred to you before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's so good, isn't it? Because the way you lay it out is really quite accurate. Because, of course, if we're here, we're never going to choose the conditioned option.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the conditioned option is ludicrous. You know, if it's really spelled out, it's something like, now, let's see, do you want to stop and think about a story that's always going to end in misery? Would you like to do that? Of course not. But that we're not conscious when that option is offered to us. So we take it, and then the double whammy on top of that is, look at you, you're choosing suffering. Mm-hmm. Right? But when we're here, we actually, it's a double win. Instead of a double, you know, it's a double win. We get to see that, mm-hmm. so it's like, oh, that's how that happens. And we the other option drops in, which is the one that we actually want to take.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just really amazing to live there like that, you know, yeah. to watch all that happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one of the ways it tries to pull me is that I need to have something to do, and it needs to be fun. As though watching that all isn't fun.
Yeah,
because it's
right.
like the most fun.
Yeah.
And I was seeing how the most detailed parts of it are the most fun. Mm-hmm. You know, which is where I think the boredom topic kind of comes up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that the detail of all of life, like to go watch a bug is like the most fun.
Right.
Than if you try to go, you know,
dinner, try to go have fun.
Go try to go have fun with dinner and a movie or something.
Right.
You know, it's so much less fun.
It is.
But there's a belief system that's what's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And at least to me, I don't know if this matches what you're saying, but that the try to go, you know, go movie and whatever, dinner, because there's an I who's going to go try to have fun. Mm-hmm. And in the bug, we can guess there is no I. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's fun, is just being life. And the detail and the wonder of life, that is fun. It's not
yeah.
try to have fun. It is, it's
just
the process of fun.
It's just wonder and amazement and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. yeah. Whereas this one over here is, I'm going to try to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be fun.
Yeah, be fun. There you go. We've been talking a lot about fun. Be fun.
Be fun. Yeah. And which is the same with everything, right? Be love, be joy, be kindness, be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is the same thing as just being here, because life is all of those things.
Yeah.
And that we don't, you know, when we're here, we don't have an expectation that now I need to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that arises.
And that's exactly what it is. It's like, we have to go have fun now. Like,
right.
like a chore, like it's on the to-do list or
right.
something. You know,
right.
which takes the fun all out of it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I going to do now? Just to have fun.
Yeah, now we have to have fun. Okay, here we go.
It's the weekend, we're supposed to have fun.
Right, which is just a complete setup to get to the end of the weekend and decide, oh, see, you didn't have fun.
And then there's a little evaluation about, did you have fun over the weekend?
Right.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I've been looking at something similar around enjoyment, and it's something that I started to get really curious about when I heard Sherry say something on Open Air along the lines of, when we're enjoying, the only thing that we're ever enjoying is ourselves.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm. And there was like the level of kind of not personality in the kind of identity sense, but like life expressing sense. Like so the first place I went to was like a place of, you know, when we're like maybe listening to Alan Watts talk, and there's that feeling of enjoyment. Mm-hmm. There's that feeling of enjoyment of life expressing through this form, and like hearing how, like hearing what intelligence is seeing through this form, mm-hmm. and that kind of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. So let me stay on track. So you're listening to Alan Watts.
Yeah.
And you're aware that you're enjoying the kind of resonance of the intelligence of this person that's in that form we call Anna, resonating with that, enjoying that intelligence.
Yeah. And when we're not listening to Alan Watts, like when we're just listening to what intelligence is seeing in here,
uh-huh.
without an external person speaking, mm-hmm. the enjoyment of that.
Got it.
So listening to the Alan Watts talk, you know,
the equivalent of that.
Exactly.
So there's intelligence coming through Alan Watts, and to realize, well, I don't need to be listening to the Alan Watts, because that same intelligence is in every form. It's in this form. It's in, mm-hmm.
Right, and having that same experience of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's the a different experience that the only thing we're ever enjoying is ourselves, which is something like the only thing that enjoyment can ever be is an experience of the body resonating with life. Mm. You know, that the enjoyment is what is the experience of the body, not the experience of something out there. And another way of saying that would be presence. Being here, that
what's being enjoyed, like, so if we take the smell of a rose,
yeah,
it's not the smell of the rose out there,
yeah,
it's the ability to register that experience in this form, in this being,
yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so the enjoyment is being present to how the body's, we have a visitor. Mm-hmm.
It's a cat, by the way, just so can't
say it. Curious to hear what's going on in here. The experience of enjoyment is the experience of being present to the body as it's resonating with life.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a kind of getting it more deeply, that is the kind of the most exquisite experience there could ever be.
Right.
And so as there's a kind of waking up to that, there's the letting go of willingness to pursue distractions that mm-hmm. say they're going to bring enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. That actually are designed, from at least from a conditioned place, to take us away from that, Renee used the word detail, kind of that minute movement that's happening inside of here, and to realize that so often what's happening is that, so we have that experience, if we use enjoyment as an example, we're having the experience of enjoyment, and the way conditioning attempts to get us away from that is to then go to something that's going to get me enjoyment out there, and that's kind of the definition of distraction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is to go somewhere else to get what actually, if we look at a very subtle level, we realize is already happening.
Right
in that moment.
Right, exactly. And it's that kind of that really engaged, like curious attention,
mm-hmm.
that detail,
mm-hmm.
that that is the, mm-hmm. is the enjoyment. And all of this is just like another way of saying that it's like I'm building that willingness to be here no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's been like dropping in as like a warrior willingness,
mm-hmm.
warrior mm-hmm. willingness to be here no matter what, that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to getting it that there's no other experience that, actually there's no experience that other experience that we can have in a sense.
True.
That is experience.
Which really ups the motivation in the warrior times, right?
Right.
So there are times where we just really get it. You know, we're connected here and we want to be here. We don't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
But then there are the times where those stories so are tempting to pull our attention. But the more we get it, that actually this is the only place I can have any of those things, the less likely we're able to be pulled off, because we realize from our own experience, okay, it may seem so real that I need to go have fun in this way or enjoyment in that way, but I know that the only place that that experience is even possible is right here. So I'm going to stay here and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, true.
The curiosity part.
Yeah, yeah, stay here and see what happens. It's
mm-hmm.
the only fun
yeah.
that
yeah.
we could ever... And have is a funny word,
it
you
is.
Know.
Yeah.
We use it
be.
Because... Yeah, because we're used to using it. Because even when we say, you know, I've had an experience, there's that I coming out of it to try and take possession of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of built into how we talk about experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just be the experience, experiencing, paying that close attention,
mm-hmm.
being the fun is
yeah.
just...
Yeah, I was thinking it would be funny to play with language, which is like, God, I was so fun today. I was enjoying it. Wow.
Thank you.
Right.
Now, looking at things that seem really, really real, and just kind of trying to get a handle on, like, why does this thing that's obviously absurd
right.
seem really compelling? And like, this has to be real and true, obviously, it's the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think I'm sort of doping out is how my mind decides what is actually real.
Huh.
And it's really dumb, as far as I can tell.
It's really dumb?
Yeah.
uh-huh.
So like, if I'm, you know, so we might make a little division of things that are real and things that are imaginary.
Okay.
They're only happening in here.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm looking like at an apple on a table,
mm-hmm.
right, if I'm tracking it, that's also happening in here.
Right.
That's just some construction
yep.
in my brain. And then, you know, if I want to get really involved with it, you know, I go and touch it, well, that's just an update to what's happening in here. There's no point at which I can actually experience the apple directly as it is. I can only experience what my mind does with the information coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take my attention off of the apple and I look away from it,
mm-hmm.
when I look back in that direction, the apple's there and it reasserts itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm imagining something and I take my attention away from it, it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
so it seems to me like that's the only thing that my mind is using to try and gauge whether something is really real, is if it has a persistence about it,
uh-huh.
if it reasserts itself
huh.
into my experience
huh.
after not having attention for a little while.
Uh-huh.
So when I take the attention away from the apple and come back to it, it's
still there.
It's still there, okay. And I take attention away and come back to it, and it's still there.
Uh-huh.
And if I have that experience enough time, it goes, oh, that's real.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if, you know, some random idea,
right.
I attend to it for a while I'm attending to it, it's just as real as anything.
Right.
But when my attention goes away from it, it's just lost into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
But with conditioning, if I take my attention away from it, it reasserts itself.
Yeah.
In very short order.
Yeah.
And then I take my attention away from it again, and the next time I look, there it is.
Still there, yeah. That's
and
so interesting. Yeah.
What I suspect is that it's that persistence
yeah.
that then gets it tagged as, well, that clearly must be real. That
right.
must be You know, whatever narrative that is spinning must just be an intrinsic part of the world as it is, because every time we look away from it and come back, it's still there.
So if we take even like something like depression. So every time I look, it's there. Every time I look, it's there. I must really be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's why my suspicion is that it's just really dumb. You know, it's just a big vulnerability in the way that minds work.
Yeah.
That if you can get a sort of looping narrative going that just asserts the same thing over and over and over again,
right,
it just is happy to accept that that is a real thing,
right,
that that is just a natural constituent of the universe, and then we must accept that as a brute fact, and then not really question it after that. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, the apple is there, and I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Those are two perfectly co-equal facts about the universe.
Yeah. And it speaks to why it's so challenging when, say, in a field like physics, where they start to find out things about the world that seem so opposite from our everyday experience, that it's almost impossible to take it in. Because we keep looking, no, I don't see that. So that cannot be real. That can't be the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same thing that as we begin to practice, and where we have, you know, an idea that that isn't true, that the conditioning isn't true, but it still seems true.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep touching back into the what seems real to me place.
And it's so hard for that idea to get established, because every time you look away from it, it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, so here's some new idea about how the world works and how we could end suffering, but if we look away for a moment, something else jumps in, and that's not there anymore. And so it's like, oh, well, that's not true. This thing that keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back, exactly.
This thing of not paying any attention to that and go unconscious and go back to suffering all the old ways, that seems incredibly real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing. I you know, I like to do my brain a little bit more credit than that, but it doesn't seem to be particularly well designed. For all the wonderful, miraculous things it does, that just seems a little silly.
Yeah. And yet, it speaks to hugely to the power of awareness, doesn't it? Because, well, yeah, what were you going to say about that?
Well, actually, I started going a different direction, so.
Go ahead.
Well, then the opposite experience that I have of that is, struggling terminology. Very often, I'm cruising about my life and believing something is really real, and then I'm not. You know, and then I'm back to having an experience of, oh, actually, this is not so at all. You know, and being able to see it from a bigger perspective where it's kind of obvious that this is absurd. No matter how real it feels, it's absurd. And being able to sort of inspect that in the same sense that I inspect my experience of the apple.
Right.
And so, you know, when you said power of awareness, that just word association triggered that. Like the experience of awareness as just asserting itself in the same way.
Yeah.
Once, you know, my experience really was that I haven't had a choice about awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I looked into some stuff, and one day it clicked, and no matter how awful I try to be at it and how distracted I try to make myself, I still keep coming back to environments and experiences and practices and behaviors that push me towards that awareness. And if I get too far away from it, I'll get yanked towards that awareness.
Uh-huh.
You know, just cruising along and distracted in my life. Oh, I'm doing it all wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of what came up for me, you said power of awareness.
Yeah, that's exactly what came up for me too, is just that place of, because it could feel completely hopeless, like we're just kind of at the mercy of this machine that's just doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that what creates the possibility of something bigger is that those mechanisms that just seem to happen outside of our control, if you will, can be held in the place of awareness. And then suddenly, we're not at all at the mercy of them.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that gives me hope is that it seems like they wear down,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, no matter mm-hmm. how many times I direct my attention away from the apple,
mm-hmm.
Unless somebody eats it or something, it stays there. But if I continuously direct my attention away from the story,
mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, very serious, is that the right word? I don't know. Sorry. If I'm very consistent about it,
mm-hmm.
Eventually it asserts itself less often yes. when I look in that direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hope being that that process continues until it just stops forever.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite been my experience just yet, but it gets very minimal.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm seeing about that is that there's a need for nuance
mm-hmm.
that doesn't really exist in my mind's assessment of what's really real.
Mm-hmm.
The things that always reassert themselves when we turn that direction, okay, it's probably something that exists in the world out there.
Mm-hmm.
Things that immediately are gone mm-hmm. when they lose attention,
mm-hmm.
probably, you know, imaginary or whatever word we want to use for that, but then that there's another class of things
yeah.
that tapers off
uh-huh.
as it loses attention, but still
yeah.
exhibits some degree of persistence,
yeah.
And just the need to be aware that there's it's not black and white,
yeah.
that there is this entire sort of gradient
yeah.
of persistence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to me that's where, both the really broad perspective of Buddhism is so helpful, and science, you know, so I kept thinking of the neural pathways as you were talking about that. So, you know, God knows what each of us has been through and who knows how many lifetimes, right? So, and the particular things, for whatever reason, are really strong associations for us, you know? And then there's some things that, you know, for someone else they're huge, and for us they just pass through and pop out and no big deal. You know, there's no strong neural pathway there. Whereas with other things it's like, oh, it's persistent, it's persistent, it's persistent. But what we know, at least if the scientists are right, is that as we stop sort of feeding that, so every time it comes up, instead of training ourselves to really look at it and ruminate and think about it, we're turning our attention away. So it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker, but it can take a really long time. And it's tricky because there's a place, at least for me, of faith in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, God, it doesn't feel like it's getting weaker at all. But if we can hang in there, at a certain point, you know, we realize, wow, that's a lot less powerful than it mm-hmm. was at one point.
Yeah, the faith is definitely the key word there. That's my experience over and over again, is that, okay, well, this is being very persistent at the moment, but I'm just, you know, I've been through this enough times with different experiences,
exactly.
and eventually it stops. And
yeah.
Just from sort of the scientific perspective, one of the really interesting things about that is it has a behavior, or I would assume it generalizes to things like beliefs,
mm-hmm.
extinguishes. There's mm-hmm. something called an extinction burst where it gets really intense right before it drops off.
Oh, wow. Well, that's helpful to know.
Yeah, and so they do, you know, they do experiments with, like, pigeons where they train them to associate pushing a lever with the food dropping into their cage.
Uh-huh.
And then they start varying how many times they have to push the lever before the food drops,
uh-huh.
and eventually they just disconnect it entirely.
Oh.
And so the pigeon will push the lever a couple times, you know, mm-hmm. The food didn't drop, and it'll push the lever a couple more times, the food didn't drop, push the lever, and it'll back off for a moment, and it'll come and push the lever furiously for a period of time, and then it'll never push the lever again.
Wow. It's like proving to itself one last time.
Yeah, but, you know, if they push the lever 50 times and then the food drops,
oh, that's trouble.
Then it reinforces the behavior again, and you have to go through the entire extinction cycle again.
Boy, that's back to what we were looking at over here, the motivation to not go with the distraction, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? To just go, you can do it, you can do it, let's just stay here, let's stay here. Yeah.
So, again.
And also, just with that kind of what it just dropped into, is really a huge sense of compassion and even a sense of humor. So if we hit it 50 times and then the food comes down, which is the equivalent of our turning our attention back to the karmic story for a minute, okay, let's start again. Just that sense of like, you know, not kind of, I cannot believe it at the 11th hour, but just that like, all right, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, and just, you know, the compassion to know that it is put together in a silly way.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to design a mind from scratch, you wouldn't make it work that way. That's silly. And so since we're stuck with this mind that seems to be designed in this silly way, just to have the ability to go, okay,
yeah,
sometimes it's not going to go well.
Yeah. And it's not me. It's not who I am.
Yeah, and you know, nobody's to blame.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, what I'm seeing around that is, I don't know if I can put it in words or not, but there's a, we talk about it all the time, but there's not a, it's not necessary to be a doer in doing that.
Mm-hmm. In doing?
Well, like the whole process of ending suffering, right, in the context of the last conversation,
mm-hmm.
The tendency is if there's, it's kind of reverse reward. It's what was talked about earlier. So I'm trying to not suffer. Uh-huh. I'm not trying to get the little pellet.
Right.
The little pellet is not suffering,
right,
but
okay,
it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to not suffer, and so I'm going to push the little practice lever to try to make that, to try to disidentify.
Okay.
And, you know, I push it twice and it works.
Uh-huh.
But it was the illusion that it works. It didn't actually, pushing the lever didn't actually cause a disidentification.
Uh-huh.
It's something else is going on.
Okay.
And then, you know, anyway, same thing. So I'm pushing the practice lever.
Mm-hmm.
And what, so there's this, it's hard to put in words, but there's this idea that gets developed that that's how practice happens.
Mm-hmm.
Is by applying something,
uh-huh,
you know, by like being somebody applying something,
okay,
and I just don't think that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems much more like, you know, people will use images like water,
mm-hmm,
things like that, where it's just living,
mm-hmm,
and allowing what is, it's almost like what's inevitable to happen.
Uh-huh. So, if I'm following, it's like sort of from our habitual thinking place, like from a conditioned place, we think of practice kind of like the pushing the lever and the pellet. It's like this direct relationship where, okay, if I can push I can practice in whatever ways, then I'm going to get what I want.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. what I want happens to be not suffering.
Right.
So it has this sort of spiritual feel and language to it. But the process is basically a conditioned process,
mm-hmm,
of being an I who's going to do something to get a result.
Mm-hmm.
But that what it feels like is that practice is more like the process of water, where there is something that happens over time. You know, the Grand Canyon gets worn away, or whatever it is, but it's not that process of I do this and I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I just thought when you're saying that is that it's not my attention.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. There's the misunderstanding that it's my attention, and so I need to apply it.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm applying attention, even if it feels like in kind of a real offhanded kind of way, because mm-hmm. you know I know that if I'm getting in there doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's a part of the thing that I'm trying to get past.
Uh-huh.
So I can even do the doing in a way that looks like not doing,
uh-huh.
but it's still applying. I'm applying my attention.
Uh-huh.
But it's not my attention. It's mm-hmm. just attention, and it will, without any interference, it feels like it'll be where it needs to be,
uh-huh.
instead of me needing to put it there.
Yeah.
And that's really where, well, it's hard to talk about what happens because it's not goal oriented. It's not, and then I don't suffer.
Right.
It's just then I'm just here with the experience that I'm having, which might be suffering.
Mm-hmm. It is an interesting kind of koan place, you know, koan being sort of a spiritual puzzle, where, as we talked about in some of the earlier conversations, it does seem like there's a role we can play in it, or a stewardship we can have over the attention or something, because it's definitely my experience, at least in what I hear you laying out, that attention put in the present moment is on awareness. It's on the beauty of life. It's on the joy of life. It's on the fun, the bug, that's just where attention, it's life. It's life's attention. And yet, the propensity for it to get pulled into a conditioned conversation, into the habit of this, into the habit of that, is so strong. Back to the, you know, what I look at is real. It can feel like that's where attention naturally lives, mm-hmm. is in the conditioned story. Mm-hmm. So it feels like, in practice, what we're learning to do, and again, the puzzle part is, who does this and how does it happen? But is to steward the attention away from that conditioned place that it habitually goes and kind of give it to the present moment, if you will.
Mm-hmm. You almost have to stop using verbs, really.
And pronouns.
Yeah, because there isn't any subject and object, uh-huh. you know, because I enjoyed how you said that, because that really seems like how it is. It feels like attention left on its own, like if you just drop a rock, it's going to,
yeah.
The gravity is going to go there.
Yeah.
Attention's like that,
yeah.
It seems like. If it's truly not managed, mm-hmm. it just rests here. And that's what peace and relaxation and joy and all that kind of stuff is. Mm-hmm. And the habit is for, you know, conditioning. You know, we talk about conditioning, pulling the attention out of the moment. We don't talk about the moment, pulling it in.
Yeah.
It's because it's kind of where it already is.
Yeah.
But, and it's, it's really not a place for verbs or pronouns, but mm-hmm. because it doesn't seem like, I mean, something's happening, mm-hmm. But it's not me, it's not my will that's mm-hmm. causing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, I can't think of a better way of saying it. It's not my attention, it's mm-hmm. life's attention. You know, it's just attention mm-hmm. doing what it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that perspective, there really can, it opens a space for a true relaxation and a true enjoyment, doesn't it? In a sense, in a way.
Yeah.
So instead of, I'm trying to do something, there sort of can be that relaxing into what is.
Yeah, even if the what is not what I want.
Exactly.
Which
the
is
the timeline that it's supposed to be happening in, or the. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I want only pleasant experiences and not painful experiences.
Right.
And, you know, that's just not a happy thing.
No.
And so.
It's not the same as ending suffering either.
It's true. Yeah, it's not at all. Yeah. And so, yeah, the pull to. Especially if it's painful, to be as somebody trying to do something about that is incredibly strong. And I can see that it's the same thing. That's what causes pain.
Yeah.
Is that exact relationship?
Yeah.
So to allow, like if something really difficult is happening, to allow it to just happen.
Yeah.
Without interfering.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do, but it's really where the action is.
Yeah, that's really, I'm not sure I can quite say it, but that's really, seems quite accurate what you just said, that, so, in from the conditioned perspective, something starts happening that seems painful to me, and I don't like it, and all of that. And so the attention then is trained to go to a distraction. Of course, it's not put that way, but like, I want to have a different experience. So mm-hmm. I try to, through my attention, I try to have a different experience. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of suffering, mm-hmm. which is wanting something other than what is. Mm-hmm. But that in that, so whatever's happening is happening, just letting go into unconditional acceptance is, in a sense, that is the movement of allowing attention back into the present moment. Mm-hmm. So there's pain or there's whatever there is, but there's not that separation of I don't want this. Mm-hmm. And then, in a sense, the suffering falls away. Whatever the experience is, there's no suffering from it in the sense of trying to move away from it and make it different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, I was seeing as you're saying that it's necessary to really to drop all relationship with it, mm-hmm. including like the really challenging for me is drawing conclusions mm-hmm. about what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I think this is what's going on, you know, and so then I should do this.
Yeah.
You know, all of that kind of stuff
yeah.
has to go because yeah. it's all a part of the same thing that
yeah.
is causing
yeah.
the experience that is yeah. not, well, it's you could say it's not what I want, which is true, but also it's not authentic.
Yeah. And it's all, at least when I look at it in a subtle way, all of that, oh, I think this is what's happening, so I need to do this about it, is all in aid of, because in some way I want to change what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't need to change what's going on, then it doesn't need to have any meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know why it's happening. I don't need to know anything about it.
Yeah. It's a state of complete relaxation with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another way it feels like I'm saying exactly the same thing that I've been looking at is, you know, that really my only job is to take care of the human.
Yeah.
And I think this is what that is.
Yeah.
It's just completely relaxing without any ego relationship with experience and just experiencing.
Yeah.
Because it really does take care of everything.
Yeah.
There is not anything to be done. It's just holding. It's even if it's pain, you know, just holding, or especially if it's pain, maybe just holding that pain.
Yeah.
It's not even pain. That's just a word for it. But you know, holding the experience
mm-hmm.
without trying to change it or do anything to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the only job is taking care of the human. It's perfect with everything you've been saying because life does take perfect care of the human.
Mm-hmm.
So all we have to do is keep putting our human in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, bringing him here, where life can take perfect care of him.
Yeah, and it's just that, you know, the attention just settling.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, those little things where you stir them up and the snow happens. It gets stirred up.
Yeah.
All right, whoops.
Yeah.
I just got distracted. I still was trying to figure it out or whatever was going on. And, I'm just kind of relax and just let it settle. And that really takes care of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it go away,
mm-mm.
which is okay.
Yeah.
But it really takes care of it.
Yeah. And it speaks to the, you know, we hear spiritual types from all the ages talking about that stillness that we can carry with us through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it feels like what you're talking about, mm-hmm. is that letting everything settle. I mean, we might be having a ton of movement. We might be moving around doing stuff or, you know, in a meeting or chainsawing or building a building or whatever, cooking a meal. But to carry that stillness
mm-hmm.
is such an amazing, huge care for the human.
Mm-hmm.
Such a profound place of care.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm going to preface this by what I'm putting on my recording, because then I'm going to talk about something really hard in relation to, and I'm going to forget as I'm talking about the hard thing, the truth, so I thought I'd say the truth.
Oh, very good.
So I'm putting on my recording. Jen, the truth is, I don't say Jen, but I'm going to say to you.
So you might say Susan.
I have a life better than my wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I have practice, I have lots of supportive other practices that, I have fabulous children
mm-hmm.
and a perfect husband. Is that on the recording?
Okay.
So having said that, I was looking at when people, so I'm in this super hard, I believe,
mm-hmm.
it feels, I'm in this super hard internal place.
Mm-hmm.
And as people were talking, I was thinking, I sort of was laughing, that the brain is actually perfect because what I'm seeing is it's absolutely useless.
Uh-huh.
What it does is just lies to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I am learning is to not listen to that funny thing that it does, because it just leads me down these
mm-hmm.
paths. But as Justin was just talking, I was thinking that this thing that I mean, you know me, it feels like that Jacob and the devil or angel and the devil, you know, I mean, it feels like it's fighting for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that, as you're saying, is that's holding it in place is that I wish it wasn't happening.
Mm, that the internal struggle is not happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what egocentric karmic conditioning, it feels like karma. It feels like karma is, but I don't know if it is. It may be that karma is telling me this is karma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. So that's why I'm talking to you about
mm-hmm.
it. So there is a... there is a resistance to life. And really, it all sucks.
Mm-hmm.
They suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember what I said in the beginning, but I usually...
I know.
Normally, they're all doing it wrong.
Yep.
And I am wishing that I didn't feel that way about it.
Uh-huh.
So I was saying this to somebody the other day, and they reflected, and they said, well, gosh, you know, you really want to learn to love them and be kinder to them, but I didn't ever hear you say it about you. Mm. And that's like the only thing that, you know, there's that thing that's telling me that there's something, you know, clearly there is something wrong. And then, you know, that student of spiritual practice, not the sincere one, but that pseudo one comes in and says, which made me think when you were talking about, what it'll say is, well, you just need to move your attention to love.
Right.
But it's not in a helpful way.
Right.
It's in it so that we'll fix what is inherently wrong with you,
exactly,
which is this resistance to life.
Yeah.
And so as people were talking, I was doing what they were talking about, which was I was sinking into that feeling. You know, I mean, it's always going on, so I don't even really have to look for it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, that this is
terrible.
I hate this. You know, it's like, that's what it was. And it's something that just wanted, I mean, as people were talking, you know, if I were to just let it go, I would start screaming. Mm-hmm. Jen, mm-hmm. No, I hate this. Mm-hmm. You know, stop. And then, you know, and it was blocking what everybody was saying, of course, because it's got the judgment and the why, and I just, you know, and then I just did what they were saying was being helpful to them. Okay, well, maybe I'll just sink into it. Maybe I'll just be with it, feel what it feels like. And then it felt like it, and I don't know if it was it or not. This is the thing I want you to. Mm-hmm. It felt like something just, you know, just locked down and sat down and said, but it wasn't in a good way, I don't think. It said, you know, this is just how it is. This is how you've always been. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're always going to resist it. Mm-hmm. You're always going to think you know more than other people, and you're always going to be controlling.
Mm-hmm. So kind of the bottom line there is, I mean, why bother practicing?
And it is right. Mm-hmm. It is right. It's, and it kind of, it's been taking my energy in a way, I've said this a few weeks ago, that is unfamiliar to me, because it really is, you know, I do anxiety, control, mm-hmm. those kinds of things.
Right.
I don't typically do despair and hopelessness and kind of tired. And mm-hmm. But it's been getting me with that, I mm-hmm. think, for the thing you just pointed out, mm-hmm. that it's kind of saying, it's, you know, why try?
Right.
It's been a lot of years and a lot of different practices.
Right.
I mean, it reminds me of 10 years ago when I, however many years ago, when I said practice doesn't work and God doesn't care.
Right.
And I'm not quite there right now, but mm-hmm. it does. It feels like a dark night again, like a...
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, what keeps coming up for me as you're talking is kind of that... it gets really bad before we let go.
Yeah. Well, that's why I could relate with the pigeons.
Yeah.
You know, only I was trying to
they're not
going to let it go. You know, because that's just like my life. You know, and I can just take spiritual practice and be that. All right, well, I'm going to use the spiritual way to tap that thing,
right.
get that nut,
right.
or whatever that
right.
is. You know,
right.
so I'm
right.
this time.
Right. Stop
not
it.
Letting
Stop
go.
It.
Not letting go. Mm-hmm. Go. Mm-hmm. Not letting go. I'm not just going to be with this and be with them and. Because then it swings me to the other side. Then there's like a, well, I can't say anything. You know, it just is swinging me to...
I can't say anything, like, in this
setting? Well, not so much in this setting, clearly. But, no, more it swings me from the two sides. So it tells me, you know, you're really a controlling nag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my kids and husband might say. But they wouldn't say that. You know, that's the truth.
All this.
You know, I don't usually get emotional, but that's what it says they would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth is I surround myself with people that wouldn't say that. Thank God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it just
gets
me.
Except for this.
I know.
This
it's
is
just
treating
cute.
You that way. This is treating you in a way that you would never surround yourself with people who would do that to you. You wouldn't stand for it. You wouldn't stand for it for you. You wouldn't stand for it for your kids.
And it tells me, though, the thing that I just see clearly is it tells me they think it, you know, projects.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't let me see that it's what's torturing me. It tells me every, you know, when I'm not paying attention or saying it out loud like now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what about that question someone asked you, you know, in terms of, okay, so it sounds like you're looking to extend love to everyone else around you. What about this person? I mean, what about... Turning to the Susan, who's in a really, really rough place right now, internally, and just treating her with exquisite kindness as she goes through it. Because you know darn well, I mean, you can sit here in this room and you know, okay, you're here now, you'll go through some other version of this again in the future, mm-hmm. you won't always be here, you're going to come through the other side, mm-hmm. but it stings. It's really, really, really hard. So in the meantime, how to be with the person who's going through that?
Well, I remember what you said one time. And I might do this, because, you know, I forget even how to do it, but I remember you said something like, make sure you're drinking water.
Yeah.
And like having warm, like you were an infant, like
yes.
warm things. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's what I remember.
Truly. So,
you know, showing up for the things I'm committed to.
And the things that you can. You know, so instead of like trying really hard to change the emotional state, or to, you know, to get in some relationship of a battle of don't think this way, don't be that way, don't have those thoughts, don't have those emotions, don't feel irritated, don't just drop down to that really basic level. What can you do? Make sure you give her plenty of water. You know, if it's cold outside, keep her warm. Make sure she's getting plenty of sleep. You know, take her on walks. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things you can do. And it's kind of like we were looking at with Justin, trusting that that's life. You know, we're like physical beings, we're animals in form. So we need water, we need food, we need sleep, we need, okay, so let's get to that level and let's figure life is going to help us with the rest of it.
Yeah, and I like the thing too, I don't know if he was really saying this, but it's what I always go back to, you know, in that, you know, that this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
Exactly. It's not a mistake.
You know, it's not a mistake. It's yeah. what it's it. You know, I judge it as this is not would not be happening.
Right.
If I were practicing correctly,
right.
I'd be moving my attention to inner peace and I would feel it.
Right.
But I don't think that's true. No. I think this is it.
I know it's not true.
But I wish it was part of it. But really, if I can just do with great kindness the basics
yeah.
and just stay with it.
Yeah. You know, and if we're really, really honest with ourselves when we look in the deepest ways of practice, I don't even think we wish it were true. Because what we're doing is we're ending suffering. So it all has to come out. You know, what's the point in delaying it? You know, okay, so you make it through this, you manage to put a band-aid on this. Why? For what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you're willing to have it all come up. And sometimes we're willing to have it come up because we have no other choice. It's just in our face. But to be willing to keep coming on Sunday and to keep sitting on the cushion and to keep recording and listening and all the things that we do in the really hard times sends such a big signal to the system that it's not a mistake, this nothing's gone wrong, we're ending suffering. And that's everything, you know, that looks a trillion different ways.
And to not get, well, for me, what I noticed was like Thursday night I came and it was astounding. I was just so happy, you know. And I just let it, you know, because it was just disidentifying or whatever.
Yep, yep.
And to just be with whatever is there.
Exactly.
Because that part of me who feels bad, when that happens, it's like, well, you know, right. now you're denying or whatever.
Exactly.
No, I was just feeling good in the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, just had a little respite. That was nice.
Yeah, it really was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll report back.
Thank you. So go ahead.
I just... been a great conversation, and I saw this morning that there was a belief going on that somehow like center was a place that I could do something about getting to, mm-hmm. and that, you know, indeed the eye often doesn't even know mm-hmm. when I'm at center, you know,
for sure.
Never knows
because it's not there.
It never knows, you know.
Yeah.
And so you know, just to as was said earlier, just realizing that it's just showing up and, you know, practicing relaxing and, you know,
who knows? Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I picked up a poem by Hafiz last night, and that was just reminding me that he was talking about a man that came to see him and was talking about a lot of conversations he'd had with God and dreams that he thought were really profound, mm-hmm. and he wanted Hafiz to confirm it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on for hours talking about these dreams, and Hafiz would say, "How many sheep do you have?" "What?" "Well, you know,
I don't know.
Do you feed the birds in winter?"
Wow.
And the guy's going, "What?" are you talking about? How many children do you have? And God has this assignment. He goes, but I want to know if I'm talking to God. And he goes, if your dreams, if your conversation with God help you to be more kind and more loving, mm-hmm. then you are having a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, forget. Yeah. And so it just feels like, you know, what we were talking about this mm-hmm. morning. There's nothing I can do. I don't know oftentimes, but you know, I can just keep just looking to my actions mm-hmm. and see, you know, yeah. where they are. Mm-hmm. If they're more kind and more loving, mm-hmm. and that let that be my
your compass.
My compass, mm-hmm. because the rest is
right.
I seem to have no control over.
Truly.
You know. Yeah. And even the more kind and loving, I often know, yeah. you know, I can just notice when it's
yeah.
when it's not, mm-hmm. when it's just not happening. So.
And when it doesn't feel available, we can be kind and loving about that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. So it's just good to see this morning that doing would often come in about, you know, trying to get here.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I can do it. Come on.
I can do it. But yeah.
Rebecca.
I was looking at, in light of the conversation, the overall structure that we put ourselves in when we come to practice,
mm-hmm.
and how that what in my language of what we're talking about, it feels like a surrender mm-hmm. to that,
yeah.
and. You know, I was projecting on the pigeon, you know, the one who's just frantically, you know, if I were the scientist watching that, mm-hmm. and I was trying to, you know, it would be so tempting to give that poor bird some food because, you know, he's just so hungry. Look how hungry he is. Look how desperate he needs some yeah. food. You know, but mm-hmm. but if I were trying, if I really loved that bird and wanted him to know that pushing that lever is really not a good way to go through life, getting mm. food, that there are other wow. much better food than pellets, you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
all of that, then I would just hold firm.
Yeah.
And then if we project onto the bird, I mean, you know, if faith does just seem the word for it, that, mm-hmm. that there's a system that I'm a part of, mm-hmm. a structure,
mm-hmm.
That wants me to be free,
yeah.
you know.
And even the way some folks have talked about this morning, that's just happening.
Well, right? Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at, because, there is a structure around practice is the sort of the structure, and then there's the life structure, of
right.
course, in which it all is just happening.
Right.
But you know, I've been put on, you know, a kind of a silence and solitude sort of regimen, mm-hmm. you know, in my practice right now, and so you know, I'm not even reading Huffy's poems or listening to Alan Watts or anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm just like I'm just with Rebecca. That's mm-hmm. just really all I've got in the office. You know,
luckily that's everything. But yes, we hear.
Yeah, yeah. But in that lever pushing yeah. way, it's
yeah.
like I just need even spiritual entertainment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But there had to have been a surrender to that guidance.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
in order. I mean, I wonder.
Well,
know?
I was going to say. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But that's the thing about showing up, is that's why we often say, all you have to do is show up. That's
yeah.
it. All you have to do is show up. Because with something like that, with a guidance that's very challenging to our particular whatever we have going on, you know, our habitual ways, that there can be tons of resistance to it and all kinds of things that we go through with it. But if we keep showing up, that same sort of inevitable movement towards freedom happens. Regardless of our relationship
yeah.
with it. You know, if we bail, if we say, no, I'm not willing for that, and that's what I'm leaving, or whatever, well, that's a different story. But if we just keep showing up, in a way, it's still back to the conversation we have with Justin. It doesn't require an I to do it.
Exactly. And that's where I got to. But it, so there is that just showing up. That's a big if of getting, okay, so I'm in this structure of practice. And if I choose not to, then I'm outside of that structure of practice.
Yeah.
But I'm still in the structure of life.
Yep.
You know, so maybe in 600 or 700 more lifetimes,
exactly,
I'll decide I want to show up again. You know? But there does seem to be, and this is, I guess, my punctuation point on this, is does seem to be this movement. The surrender is just the only word that's speaking to it right now. Or acceptance, or whatever, of the, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, like this is the structure that we've put ourselves under for this guidance. You know, it could be the political structure, or the, you know, economic structure, whatever, but this is where we are.
Yeah.
And there's a huge gratitude and faith and willingness for all of that, for whatever that delivers, you know.
Yeah. Boy, that's a very big place to be, isn't it? To be in gratitude for that.
Yeah.
To be able to be grateful for that which egocentric karma conditioning self-hate would hate.
Oh,
but that the heart loves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.